Stories echo through the shadows of Monet's gardens in Giverny, France, located in what may be better known as Normandy. Lush, sweeping trees drape their leaves, whispering at the edge of dark ponds. Skimming the surface of the waters are exotic water lilies that Monet carefully procured from as far away as Egypt. That particular water lily, unfortunately, didn't make it. He diverted water from the Epte, spelled E-P-T-E, a tributary of the Seine River that flows out to the English Channel. While beautiful and unforgettable, the water lilies caused a bit of a stir when they were added. From the water being diverted, since Monet lived upstream of Giverny, and others worrying that the water lilies would poison the water. We shared photos of one of Monet's paintings of the water lilies on Instagram, taken in 2017 when I visited the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., while Emily was down the road at the Smithsonian Museum of American History. We each were on a timeline, practically walk-running to see it all. Claude Monet painted plein air in his gardens at Giverny. He didn't finish every painting outdoors. Sometimes he would finish them later in his studio. The Today Show reported on a ghost spotted at the Cleveland Museum of Art in Cleveland, Ohio. The interwebs were buzzing with a new ghost story, for this wasn't just any ghost. He was spotted and photographed standing at a floor above the photographer at the railing, and the rumors had it that they thought this wasn't an unknown but a master of Impressionism, and none other than Claude Monet. Whether it is likely he was there, why wouldn't he be? Do they have his work? Why would he have shown up there when he didn't live there? Had he ever traveled to the U.S.? It seemed while he was alive, Americans loved his work. We'll be taking a look at this ghost story in today's episode of The Whispering Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to The Whispering Gallery podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today as we explore the artist behind the haunting photograph taken at the Cleveland Museum of Art, which they say is none other than Claude Monet. But why would he be in Cleveland? It's hard to turn around this year without something big around the corner. From the COVID-19 quarantine, to the earthquake in Utah, to the riots and protests, it's barely summer and it's already been a wild year. We're so grateful that we're here with you and that you're hanging in there with us. So pull up a cozy corner and get settled in, because whether you're cooking dinner, commuting, or in the art studio, you can come with us to the realm of shadowy ghosts, brilliant gardens, and glowing impressions from Le Peintre du Bonheur, the painter of happiness. Claude Monet is said to haunt the Cleveland Museum of Art. As the staff was preparing for a special exhibit featuring Monet's work in October of 2015, Jeffrey Streen, the museum's director of architecture and design, caught a photo that captured a figure who had a remarkable resemblance to Monet. In the photograph, Monet appears to be looking down on staff installing and working on the exhibit and stands behind a balcony. He appears in black and white. The museum claims that no retouching or altering of the photo has been done, and that they have had many reported sightings of this apparition, although his identity has not been confirmed. This ghost just has a striking resemblance to this French Impressionist. A theory as to why Monet may be haunting the museum is that he's keeping an eye on his artwork. According to the museum, many other ghosts have been spotted here. There is a beautiful gilded mirror hanging in one of the galleries that people see figures appear behind them in, and when they turn around, they're alone. Guests at the museum have also reportedly seen a man in gray staring at his own portrait and then have watched him disappear into it. The man in gray is a reference to the portrait of Jean Gabriel.
Interesting. One of the things that might be of interest with Monet hanging around something or being attached to something would be during World War I, a lot of people were, I don't know if fleeing is the right word, but they were leaving Giverny to get away from the war. I mean, it's Normandy where D-Day and all that stuff was going on.
Yeah, big deal stuff.
Yeah, and he said he would stay put and die amongst his art if necessary and continue his work.
So no wonder he'd be watching out for it then, because he's pretty attached.
In his gardens and stuff.
We're just going to dive into a bio of Monet's life. Most of this information comes from Wikipedia. The Wikipedia page on Monet is just really, really awesome. It's full of really useful information and really interesting tidbits. So a lot of this is directly quoted from that just because they worded it so well and had so much great information. Claude Monet was born on the 14th of November in 1840 on the fifth floor of 45 Rue Lafitte in the 9th arrondissement of Paris. He was the second son of Claude Adolphe Monet and Louise Justine Aubry Monet, both of them second-generation Parisians. On the 20th of May in 1841, he was baptized in the local parish church, Notre-Dame de Lorette, as Oscar Claude, but his parents simply called him Oscar. He signed his juvenilia O. Monet. Despite being baptized Catholic, Monet later became an atheist. In 1845, his family moved to Le Havre in Normandy. His father wanted him to go into the family ship chandling and grocery business, but Monet wanted to become an artist. His mother was a singer and supported Monet's desire for a career in art. On the 1st of April, 1851, Monet entered Le Havre Secondary School of the Arts. Locals knew him well for his charcoal caricatures, which he would sell for 10 to 20 francs. Monet also undertook his first drawing lessons from Jacques-François Ochard, a former student of Jacques-Louis David. On the beaches of Normandy around 1856, he met fellow artist Eugène Baudouin, who became his mentor and taught him to use oil paints. Baudouin taught Monet en plein air, outdoor techniques for painting. Both were influenced by Johann Barthold Jonkind. On the 28th of January, 1857, his mother died. At the age of 16, he left school and went to live with his widowed and childless aunt, Marie-Jeanne Le Cadre. Monet went to Paris to study the old masters and visit the Louvre. While he was there, he became friends with Edouard Manet, the French modernist painter. This is again from the Claude Monet Wikipedia page. After drawing a low ballot number in March 1861, Monet was drafted into the French regiment of the African Light Cavalry in Algeria for a 7-year period of military service. His prosperous father could have purchased Monet's exemption from conscription, but declined to do so when his son refused to give up painting. While in Algeria, Monet did only a few sketches of Casbah scenes, a single landscape, and several portraits of officers, all of which have been lost. In a Le Temps interview of 1900, however, he commented that the light and vivid colors of North Africa gained the germ of my future researches. After about a year of garrison duty in Algiers, Monet contracted typhoid fever and briefly went absent without leave. Following convalescence, Monet's aunt intervened to remove him from the army if he agreed to complete a course at an art school.
I read about that, and it sounded more like he wanted out, and his aunt stepped in, okay, well, if you finish this, I'll get you out. But so that's interesting that it comes after he was sick and he'd already been serving. Mm-hmm. So that adds a bit of understanding or more sympathy to him, like not as a character, but you know how you hear about that when...
Well, it's also like he didn't just, I mean, even though he may have wanted his dad to like buy him out, I mean, he did serve for a little while, and like, I think that's good. Shows like strength of character.
Had the fortitude to try and he served his country.
Yeah, for sure. So he became disillusioned with traditional art taught at art schools. And in 1862, Monet became a student of Charles Glier in Paris, where he met Pierre-Auguste Renoir, Frederick Basel, and Alfred Sisley. Together, they shared new approaches to art, painting the effects of light in plein air with broken color and rapid brushstrokes, in what later became known as Impressionism. One of his well-known works was painted in 1867, called The Lady in the Green Dress, also known as Camille. This painting was of his future wife, Camille, again from Wikipedia. Camille became pregnant and gave birth to their first child, Jean, in 1867. Monet and Camille married on the 28th of June in 1870, just before the outbreak of the Franco-Prussian War. And after their excursion to London and Zandam, they moved to Argenteuil in December 1871. During this time, Monet painted various works of modern life. He and Camille lived in poverty for most of this period.
It sounds interesting because some of the books made it seem like he was somewhat entitled, but it sounds like more just like a normal young person getting a start on things and you don't have any money. Like when they had the baby, he wasn't able to stay with her in Paris because he ran out of money and nobody would send him any.
I kind of got that feeling too when I was reading it that maybe he was a little spoiled to some extent, but also like it does kind of seem like this is kind of the average for most people in the world, that you live in not poverty, but you are definitely strapped, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure, like, to the extent the poverty, like, how that extended. But yeah, it definitely sounds like a difficult time for sure.
Oh, yeah. And it, I guess just hearing the stuff that you've found from Wikipedia on him, it's a much more sympathetic portrait of him, so to speak. The stuff I've read from the Monet's Palette and the Mad Enchantment book, it for me had painted this picture of this guy that, like you said, was poor for a time, but he had money from family and eventually made a lot of money and was able to have his extensive gardens. But this is making him more real, like a regular human being, not just this kind of esoteric, like you said, somewhat spoiled. No, he's a regular guy. And he fell in love, and he went to war, and he, you know. So
that's partially why I pulled so much, because it's just written so well, and it's, I mean, it's just really, really great, I think.
Yeah, good for sharing, for sure.
Monet struggled with depression and self-doubt throughout his career and life, but after Jean was born, Monet was experiencing a lot of financial hardships and was so depressed that he attempted suicide in 1868 by trying to drown himself in the River Seine.
Wow. Yeah. I did not hear that part.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it's, like it says, Monet has depression, or had depression and struggled with it throughout his life, but it seems like this was kind of like the lowest low.
Yeah, in hearing that, I've got books on like the mindful way through depression and different things, and it's art, even though they don't advertise it as that when you're signing up for classes and going to school, studying and doing your homework and stuff. It's huge as far as mindfulness, because you lose yourself. A lot of people call it the flow, but it's that, but it's also you are in the moment creating, following whatever line or stroke or whatever you put down before. So for, I guess I'm relating this to him and his depression, that it's almost like it became not therapy, but maybe a way of coping and dealing. Because it sounded like he was always painting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it could have been a contributing factor in his gardens, too. Like, as far as, like, just pouring yourself into, like, these passions that you have and really letting them absorb you. During the Franco-Prussian War, Monet and his family took refuge in England. In May of 1871, he left London to live in Zaandam, in the Netherlands, where he made 25 paintings. During this time, the police suspected him of revolutionary activities. In 1876, Monet's wife, Camille, became ill with tuberculosis. She died in 1879, 1 year after giving birth to their second son, Michel, and after being diagnosed with uterine cancer. She was 32 years old. Monet painted an oil study of Camille on her deathbed. Many years later, Monet confessed to his friend, Georges Clemenceau, that his need to study and work with colors was both the joy and anguish of his life. He explained, "I one day found myself looking at my beloved wife's dead face and just systematically noting the colors according to an automatic reflex."
That I heard when I was in school. Once you start drawing the figure or drawing the face or whatever, you're going to start focusing. And you probably heard this and knew it far longer because you were going when you were in middle school on. And the, you know, you're going to start like, oh, that's how the eye goes in the tear duct, or that's the way, the shape of the hair, that it's shape rather than, or it's color or hue or.
I think too, it may have helped him like separate himself from her death too, by like seeing her as like an object to be painted rather than like his wife who he had just lost, you know? So I think that it may have helped to kind of like get him through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know. It sounds awful.
Two small boys, and he's fighting depression, and then his wife dies.
And they're so young, too. Like, Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
So after Camille's death in the early 1880s, Monet started to paint the French countryside. He began to document the same settings, but with different lighting and in different seasons. This is again from Wikipedia.
Yeah, he did a, I think it's in Mad Enchantment, the book. I can see if I can take a screenshot of it, but he did paintings of, I don't think it was a lake, I think it was a pond with trees, and he did it in the different seasons. Mm-hmm. So I'll see if I can find that to post.
I think that sounds like the coolest idea.
Yeah.
After the death of Camille Monet in September 1879, and while Monet continued to live in the house in Vethuil, Alice Hochedi helped Monet to raise his two sons, Jean and Michel. She took them to Paris to live alongside her own six children, Blanche, who later married Jean, Germain, Suzanne, Marthe, Jean-Pierre, and Jacques. As an aside, Blanche was also Claude's art assistant and was his stepdaughter, as well as daughter-in-law, once he married Alice in 1892. By the time she was 17, Blanche was Monet's assistant and only student, often painting in plein air with him, using the same subjects and colors.
I don't know if you talk about this later on.
That's kind of the only thing I touch on with her.
Okay, she's still around when he's an old man, and she carries his canvases and his supplies, and she encourages him to keep painting, and so she's a big part of things, you know, as he's aging. Because mm-hmm. I know when he's older and he's built the huge studio mm-hmm. where he can do the really large canvases, and on another rabbit hole, he had fought as a younger man against large buildings like this in Giverny. There's also a video of Monet when he's older in the gardens, which is kind of cool because I haven't ever seen him, and they show him working plein air, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome. In the spring of 1880, Alice and all of the children left Paris and rejoined Monet at Vethuil. In 1881, all of them moved to Poissy, which Monet hated. In April of 1883, looking out the window of the little train between Vernon and Gascony, he discovered Giverny in Normandy. Monet, Alice, and the children moved to Vernon, then to the house in Giverny, where he planted a large garden and where he painted for much of the rest of his life. Following the death of her estranged husband, Monet married Alice in 1892.
I know we haven't traveled there and we don't speak French, so please forgive us if we're
butchering the pronunciation.
We have looked up some of these on Google Translate, and sometimes they have a pronunciation, and sometimes, like with the river, the tributary that mm-hmm. he made his ponds with, no idea how to say it. So anyway, so please forgive us, but it's a pretty cool story to be telling.
For sure.
Also, when he was at different places, he would go to kind of lengths, great lengths, I would say, to get his panels around with pulleys and stuff to get him inside. And so I guess I think both of us could relate to that. You with the Masonite for school.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And me for my study after Jackson Pollock. It's a pain in the butt to work with large panels, but you can do some really neat things.
Oh, it's totally worth it, but it does suck.
Monet advised the American artist Lila Cabot Perry, when you go out to paint, try to forget what objects you have before you. A tree, a house, a field, or whatever. Merely think, here is a little square of blue. Here, an oblong of pink. Here, a streak of yellow. And paint it just as it looks to you, the exact color and shape, until it gives your own naive impression of the scene before you. And that was taken from the National Gallery of Art, NGA.gov. He was a member of the Anonymous Society of Painters, Sculptors, Printmakers, and this also included Good Company of Cézanne and Renoir. In his later years, he had a lot of trouble with tooth pain and would travel to Paris to see his dentist.
Sounds awful, especially given Dad's, like, root canal with, like, modern medicine lately. Can't even imagine, like, yeah, let's get dental work in the 1800s. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, let's just hold still. Yeah. I'm sure maybe have a shot of something and then hold still. I don't know. He also had eye trouble, and I don't know a whole lot about that. I think he had surgery. I'll see if I can find more if we record another session on this. which I think we'll probably need to because I am supposed to go to work soon. So, and you too. And again, on the World War One thing, he stated he would stay and die among his work and canvases rather than leave. So Normandy is an area on the north of France. They're known for mussels, scallops, and oysters, and apple brandy. And it's located on the northwest, in particular of France, and along the English Channel, where the Seine River enters the channel. And it was a tributary to this river that Monet was able to divert and make his water lily ponds with. Super. And irritate all the some of the people downstream. Omaha Beach of World War II is in that area of Normandy, and D-Day occurred. When he had his water lilies established in the ponds, they were near a road, and so the lilies, the flowers would get dusty from the dirt from the road. I don't know if he did this as well, but I know in what I had read that his gardeners helped him to rinse them. And then I believe he paid to have the road paved. So it was, you know.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, he wanted his, you know.
Leave my flowers alone.
Yeah, that messes with the color and changes the whole thing.
All right, so here's a little bit about Giverny, France. So Giverny is a village in the region of Normandy in northern France. It's about 80 kilometers or 50 miles west, northwest of Paris. It's fairly rural and has a population of about 500 currently. And it was about a population of 400 when Monet moved there. Monet lived and worked here from 1883 until his death in 1926. This is where he produced the water lily series at his home in his beautiful gardens.
There was another painter that created his own environment to paint, so that was kind of cool.
For sure.
So I don't know if that's where Monet got the idea, or if it was just something he brought back, like you said, from Africa, and the things he had seen and the colors and... Mm-hmm. Do you have a happy moment in mind?
I think my good thing is our new microphone. I'm pretty excited to be like upping the sound quality a little bit, and hopefully our listeners like it too.
Yeah, that was cool. That was my Mother's Day gift from Emily, so thank you.
That was not a toot my own horn. But...
No, it's not. It's just, it is a cool thing, so yeah. The foxgloves for the garden and the...
They're super pretty. We'll post a photo on Instagram.
Yeah, those are really fun, and bumblebees love them. They climb up in the bells and pollinate. They're a perennial, and you can see a picture of them on Instagram. As per Giverny.org, they are part of the list of flowers that were growing in Claude Monet's gardens.
One cool thing, I signed a petition for... So Bloc Ballet Shoes only manufacture point shoes in like a pale nude. And so a lot of black ballerinas and ballerinas of color have to buy like cheap foundation and like paint their shoes so that it will be their correct nude. So there's a really cool petition floating around that you can sign that basically is petitioning Bloc to make all ranges of like a nude shade for every skin tone. So I think that's really, really cool and definitely a cool thing to see this movement being tied back into the arts.
And with ballet slippers or shoes, I guess they're not slippers, these are ballet shoes, right?
Point shoes.
Point shoes. That, I mean, when I was taking ballet, and I never made it to point, but I know that the girls, the class that came in after me, they had point shoes, and they'd put on their lamb's wool and put on their shoes, and but then to not slip on them, they'd have to put them in resin. Mm-hmm. And so it's like adding anything to the silk or satin makeup, you know, you don't need anything more slippery either. Mm-hmm. The safety of the dancers, I mean, maybe that's weak, but I think it could be a problem that way, or then it would clump with the resin, or, you know, it's like, should just be made for them.
Exactly. Or even just it, like, leaving a smudge as they're dancing on the floor or something, you know, it's like, they shouldn't have to worry about that. It's just one unnecessary thing. But I think... Lots has been said about the Black Lives Matter movement, and while we're not getting everything 100% right, we are trying to listen and learn and do our best with supporting and donating and signing petitions and talking to our politicians. So,
like the artist that I was talking to said, I guess better to not be afraid and better to try. And to wrap our brain around things and understand than to stay silent. So I guess it's a important moment, not just the happy moment this time. As far as happy moments go, it's always fun to have Emily come over during quarantine, and we work one day a week, so those are always fun moments.
It's really nice to get out of the house for a little bit and see my parents and the dogs.
So yeah, we're doing that today, so we're doing the first recording of two for Monet and the ghost story about Monet, and we'll get into describing the photograph a little more next time and talk about his gardens, which were extensive. Not to mention the vegetable garden across town that was used to feed his family.
Watch out for our next episode. Until then, we'll see you later.
Yep, stay safe, and everybody, and we look forward to talking to you soon.